And now, the life of Mary Sutton. Mary's husband, Max Sanders, died more than a week ago. But Mary has found comfort in her conviction that Max is still with her. As the days pass, Mary's friends, Dr. John Benson and Daddy Stafford, try to assure themselves that her condition is not unnatural, but her enemies are less charitable. Yesterday, Gerald Proust and his wife, who have failed repeatedly to obtain control of Mary's stock and the Sanders' interest, were delighted at the gossip that Mary's mind has been affected by her husband's death, and they suggested to John Benson that Mary belonged in a sanitarium. Benson, thoroughly alarmed, phoned Daddy Stafford and asked him to come to the clinic at once. Now, it's a few minutes later. In response to John's phone call, Daddy Stafford is hurried to the clinic, and Benson, who has been pacing the floor, greets him eagerly.
Thank heaven you've come, Daddy.
Well, I came as fast as I could, John.
I've got bad news. Very bad news about Mary. Oh,
John, what's happened?
Gerald Proust and his wife came here to see me this afternoon.
Proust? Well, what did he want?
He pretended it was a casual social call, but he really wanted to find out all he could about Mary.
About Mary?
Daddy, he's spreading a rumor that she's out of her mind. In other words, crazy.
John, well, how did he get that idea? Mary had been talking to Proust the same as she talked to us about Max not being dead and all that?
Not to Proust directly. He heard the story from Bill Brown and his wife after their visit to Mary. I've been afraid this would happen. Afraid other people wouldn't understand what Mary was going through.
Mm-hmm. I've been hoping that Mary wouldn't tell him ideas of hers to anybody but her friends. We can make allowances for her state of mind because we love her, but other folks seem too charitable.
And Proust actually suggested that she be sent to a sanatorium.
John, you and I are Mary's best friends. The only way we can help her is to be honest with each other. I've got to ask you a question straight out. You've got to tell me your honest opinion.
What's the question, Daddy?
Do you think Mary's out of her mind?
No, I don't. I'm sure she'll be all right eventually. Mary's too well balanced to become permanently affected by the shock of losing Max. I stake my professional reputation on that.
I'm very glad to hear you say that, John.
Until today, I thought that the wisest thing for us to do was to leave her alone. Give her time to adjust herself to a new life.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. Time will heal the sort of wound that Mary got when Max died, and time is what she needs.
Yes, that's what I've been counting on. Now, thanks to Proust, she won't be given time to recover. If he can convince everyone that she's crazy, his next step will be to convince the court and have her declared mentally incompetent so that he can handle the Sanders interest.
Jump in to hush us up. So that's what he's up to. Why, the low scoundrel, I'd like to wring his neck.
Yes, that's his plan. He's more than likely to succeed if we don't think of some way of protecting Mary, of stopping the gossip once and for all.
It always seemed to me it's easier to stop the waves of the ocean than to stop gossip once it starts. Have you any ideas at all, John? Can you see any way to stop folks talking about Mary and saying she's crazy?
There's one possibility, Daddy. The only one I can think of.
Well, what is it?
Well, if the situation weren't so desperate, I wouldn't suggest it. Anyway, not at this time.
What is it, John? We're wasting valuable time and we could be helping Mary.
Well, I've always loved Mary.
Yes, yes, of course you do. So what?
Daddy, you may be shocked at what I'm going to say. Max has been dead for a short while. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't think of mentioning marriage to Mary for months.
Marriage? Oh, I see what you're getting at.
If Mary married me, or let it be known that she was going to marry me someday, I could protect her from Proust.
Yes, yes. You're a doctor, and folks should know that Mary was all right.
Exactly. I'm sure it would stop the gossip. I'm going to her this afternoon. Mary knows I've always loved her.
Well, now, take it easy, John. I wonder if this is just the time to talk about marriage to Mary.
Well, I don't suppose it is the right time, but Max always said, if anything happened to him, he wanted me to look after Mary. And if he ever needed protection, she needs it now.
Yes, you're right about that. But if you take the advice of a man old enough to be your father, John, you'll be very careful what you say to her. And don't let your love for her get the better of your good judgment. And remember that, John, when you speak to her.
Mary, dearest. Remember when you and Max and I would get together and how he'd throw his arms around both of us and say, the three of us against the world?
Yes.
I want to talk about the three of us. About you, Max, and me.
The three of us. We've always been very close to each other, you and Max and I.
Yes, Mary. And remember how often Max would turn to me and say, if anything ever happens to me, John, I'm counting on you to look after Mary.
And you always have looked after me, John, dear. No woman could hope for a better friend than you've been to me.
But, Mary, dear, Max meant more than that. More than friendship. I never concealed anything from him. He knew I loved you. Knew I'd always love you. And you know it, don't you, dear?
Yes, Terrence. And do you know that my feeling for you has always been more than mere friendship?
That's what I hoped to hear you say.
I do love you, Terrence.
Mary, darling.
But not as you want me to love you.
Oh.
It's a love born of respect and admiration and undying gratitude.
No, Mary, not gratitude. Don't say that. I'm grateful to you. Grateful for every night I spent with you. For every touch of your hand. For every smile. Mary, darling, Max asked me to take care of you. And I want to, if you'd only let me.
You've done so much for me, John.
I'm not explaining it very well. I want to be with you always. I wouldn't ask this if I felt I were being disloyal to Max's memory, if I weren't sure he'd approve.
John, please.
I don't like to think of you staying here in this house all alone, going on all alone. If you'd only give me some hope, so I know I have the right to look after you, to protect you.
I can't seem to make you understand. No one understands. Max is still with me. He's my husband now, as he's always been.
Oh, my darling, I understand. I know your love for Max is so great that you feel his presence here in this house. That's quite natural. But, Mary, dear, may I speak to you as your doctor now, and not as a man who loves you?
Why, yes, John, of course.
It's not wise for you to stay here alone and brood about Max. It's not like you to retreat from the world. I know better than anyone what Max's death meant to you. But won't you try to face it, dear, as Max would want you to? When his very last words to you were a prediction of a new life for you, of greater happiness.
But, John, you haven't remembered all Max said. He did say he saw a new life for me. But he promised not to leave me. He said he'd be with me.
He meant he'd be with you in spirit. But you must be sensible, dear. Enough time has passed. You must learn to accept the fact that he's gone forever.
No. No, don't say that, John. It's not true.
It is true. I'm sure Max would want you to believe it and accept it. If he's somewhere near us now...
But he's here, John. He doesn't seem as close to me now as he did when I was alone, but... Oh, John, I'm so very fond of you, but... I don't love you. Not as I loved Max.
Mary, I'll be content with your affection. I'll be patient and wait as long as you want.
Oh, John, I don't want to hurt you. You've been so kind.
Mary, you think you might...
Oh, I don't know. Oh, Max, I need you. I need you so terribly. Is this what you've come for me? Is this what you want me to do?
Mary, dear, I know Max would want me to take care of you.
John, Max is trying to tell me something. He's very close to me. Max, darling, tell me what to do. Is this the life you saw for me? Life of John? Max wants to speak to me. I'm so worried, so afraid.
No, Mary. No. That's not your future. Remember, I'll be with you till you've found the road. And don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid.
Mary, dear.
John, didn't you hear him?
Mary, please. You're imagining things.
Please try to understand. It's not imagination. John, I can't tell you what my future will be. I don't know. But Max does. And he promised he'd show me the way.
The voice of Max continues to echo in Mary's ears and heart more clearly than the ardent voice of the living. The voice of John Benson, who loves her and who longs to protect her from dangers of which he is blissfully unaware.